time.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Leftover from Christmas. Christmas cheer from Nick Redfern, author of Keep Out, Top Secret Places Governments Don't Want You to Know About. And we're focusing on the London Underground. Of course, you have those great classic subways over there. Mysterious cats, tell us more.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the people I interviewed for the book was a woman who, back in the 1950s, late one night, was standing on one of the platforms. You know, bear in mind, there are, you know, literally dozens and dozens of platforms all across the underground. Nobody else there at the time. And she said she saw this, which basically she described as a large black panther, which is sort of a misnomer. They're basically melanistic big cats lacking in pigment. There actually isn't a creature called a black panther. It's just like a popular culture term. But anyway, she saw this large black cat, which she said was sort of prowling along the tracks, and basically gave her sort of this weirdly intent glare, as if it was almost sort of boring into her soul. You know, it's a very, very strange experience, almost like a paranormal experience than just seeing, you know, an exotic large cat that had escaped from a zoo or something like that. And it was sort of taken to a weirder level, where she claimed that a few days later, somebody knocked on the front door, claiming to be from the government, and suggested to her it'd be a good idea if she didn't talk about this, which again has sort of classic Men in Black overtones to it, although she said there was no threat, and she said that the guy and her actually sat by the fireplace drinking tea as he told her not to talk about this, but in kind of friendly tones. But it does have that MIB flavor to it. And there are actually several reports like this, particularly from some of the deeper tunnels, of people seeing what they describe as like large black cats, larger than a house cat, obviously, and bordering on like an exotic cat. And who knows, you know, maybe some of these, Britain has a lot of reports every year of large black cats on the loose. Who knows, maybe deep in some of the lower levels, you know, some of these animals have bred and thrived and, you know, are surviving on whatever's down there, whether it's sort of discarded burgers or the occasional hobo, who knows.
Well, you know, it's very interesting here. When you get a place like that, underground, not access to every nook and cranny, isn't it basically part of the problem that you're going to have strange animals and stuff like that? They're just going to get down there and find it comfortable?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's very true. And I think, you know, the important thing to note is that, you know, the London Underground affords a lot of cover, protection, darkness, safety for any sort of predator that might want to live there. But more importantly, you know, because there are a lot of people down there, as I said, there's food being thrown around all over the place. You know, people are just dumping a bit of a burger on the tracks or whatever, or just dropping something. So, in other words, you know, you've got a safe haven with a lot of protection, a lot of winding tunnels, tunnels where the average person can't go, and a lot of the old closed down ones. So it would be the ideal place for like wild animals that really, number one, want the cover and the darkness and the safety, but number two, arguably need a human presence, you know, which they can sort of live off all the rich pickings that we dump, so to speak.
Let's look at some other strange places here, because there are so many, and the book covers a whole host of them. And I guess the best thing to do is also look at that other famous underground place that we all talk about. Oh, I don't know how much we've talked about it here on the Paracast. Dulce, New Mexico. What's the background?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Dulce story is without doubt, you know, one of the most controversial, probably in many respects even more controversial than the story of Area 51. You know, most of the installations, almost exclusively all the installations I talk about in the book, are at least under the control of the government. According to sort of ufological rumor and legend, the Dulce base is actually out of the hands of the government, or the government has lost control of the base, and it's now under the control of hostile aliens. Now, Dulce is a base, or an alleged base, I should say, in the town of Dulce, New Mexico, hence the name, which is in the northern part of the state. For years, people have come forward, unfortunately, for the most part, using pseudonyms or aliases, etc., but still claiming that, you know, this huge installation exists below this mesa, this huge mesa that the mesa is undeniably real in the town of Dulce. But people talk about this gigantic facility extending down for, you know, a number of levels, multi-levels below the mesa, where hostile aliens are doing everything from sort of biological warfare experiments to, you know, bizarre genetic and gene splicing programs, splicing humans with other animals, and people are kidnapped and used for food. And it sounds like, you know, the ultimate conspiracy sci-fi thriller, which you probably would make. And I think there are, actually heard somewhere that a movie is going to be made about Dulce, so I'm sure it may cover some of these issues. But, you know, there's a big difference between what we know as science fiction, or what may be science fiction, and science facts and rumor hearsay, a verifiable fact. Now, a lot of people talk about the Dulce base, you know, and perpetuate these stories about hostile aliens, which, you know, who knows where the truth begins again. But one of the things I did when I was researching the chapter on Dulce was not just to focus on who was saying what about what, you know, in relation to UFOs specifically, but actually take a look at what else was going on in Dulce and look at the history of the area and try and determine to what extent, if any extent, you know, the military or the government had been active in the Dulce area. And the fact of the reality is that there's a huge amount of military and government ties to the Dulce area. The mesa itself extends more than 9,000 feet above sea level in Rio Arriba County. And this entire area from 1975 to 1979 was a literal hotbed for cattle mutilations. Now, the FBI has now declassified all its cattle mutilation files, many of which cover all these encounters at Dulce. And when you read the FBI's files on the Dulce cattle mute, you know, you find it reads like sci-fi until you realize, you know, you're looking at genuine government files. I mean, they talk about animals drained of blood, weird tripod markings on the ground that seem to be following the cattle, elevated radiation readings, calves having been taken and the mothers left behind, all sorts of weird stuff like this. And to where the FBI even consulted with Gabe Valdez, who was one of the most prominent people in the New Mexico State Police Department in Dulce at that particular time, or in the vicinity of Dulce. So in other words, we know on first, at least, that there was a wide range of cattle mutilations in the very area of where the base, you know, supposedly exists. And what's interesting is that the existence or the story of the base wasn't around, you know, in 1975. Nobody was talking about the Dulce base then. So in other words, you know, people might argue if the story was already in circulation, then people might be just getting all, you know, hysterical about somebody's cow dying and attributing it to the story of the alien base. But that, it wasn't in circulation in 75. So in other words, the mutilation angle predates the base stories. The other thing that's interesting is that on the 10th of December 1967, the Atomic Energy Commission detonated a 29-kiloton nuclear device 4,000 feet below ground level in the area, ostensibly at least, to sort of provoke the release and production of natural gas. And this is a program known as Gas Buggy, which fell under the auspices of a bigger program called Operation Plowshare, which was basically designed to explore the peaceful use of atomic energy. And what's interesting is that the location of the gas buggy test, when they detonated this atomic device way below ground, is actually only 12 miles from Dulce. So, in other words, we can prove that there was verifiable underground digging and explosions in the Dulce area back in the 60s. We can prove the FBI was looking into cattle mutilations there in the 70s. So, you know, this for me, again, leaves open the idea that there could very well be some sort of underground installation in the area. And to give you another intriguing little bit of insight as well, because of these this nuclear test in 67, all around Dulce now, it's actually illegal, unless you get government permission, to dig within the near vicinity of where the explosion took place. Now, on the one hand, you could argue, well, you know, this is an atomic device. Nobody wants somebody opening up the ground, you know, and releasing radioactive elements or whatever, which is true. But on the other hand, you know, you could make the argument the government doesn't want us digging around there in case anybody stumbles upon evidence of the underground facility. You know, but whichever scenario is true, it's intriguing that of all the locations in the U.S., you know, where it's illegal to dig underground, one of them is within 12 miles of the alleged Dulce base.
We have Nick Redfern. The book is called Keep Out, and many more places around the world to explore. And a few of your questions, listeners. You're on with Gene and Chris because you're in
the Paracast.
Yes, you are.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hey everybody, Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate, so you could lose money. Gold goes up and down, but every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery, so you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you. Listeners, it's Jason Lewis, and now that the holidays have come and gone, it's time to get serious about our New Year's resolutions. For 2012, resolve to protect your most valuable asset, your family. Daily, we hear about all the crazy stuff happening around the world, unemployment, food shortages, natural disasters, just to name a few. For my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna and savory stroganoff that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947 and enter promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Peace of mind, the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
We have the inimitable Nick Redfern, author of Keep Out. Top secret places governments don't want you to know about. There you go. Any more issues about Dulce before we jump away?
Yeah, just a little bit. A couple things, Nick. Speak to, you know, of course, the whole Paul Benowitz scenario, which your good friend Greg Bishop did a great job covering in his book Project Beta, and also the more recent revelations from a gentleman who was on the Paracast, Anthony Sanchez, and his most recent addition to the Dulce thing.
When it comes to Dulce, the story itself suggesting, you know, there was some sort of, or there is some sort of underground base in the area, really didn't sort of kick off until the late 1970s, early 1980s. And what happened is that, well, we have to go back to a guy named Paul Benowitz. Paul Benowitz ran a company called the Thunder Corporation, which actually had its headquarters or its base of operations literally on the just outside the base perimeter of Kirtland Air Force Base, New Mexico. Benowitz had an interest in UFOs, and he began to see a lot of activity occurring at Kirtland that he perceived as being linked with UFOs. For example, strange lights in the sky, strange aircraft performing all sorts of weird maneuvers, lights sort of seemingly beaming down from the sky. He began to develop this controversial theory at the same time that he was investigating a number of weird alien abduction stories in the area, a couple of which were actually linked with cattle mutilation events also. And over time, Benowitz, his scenario and his hypothesis grew and grew to the point where he came to believe that there was sort of a massive alien presence in the New Mexico area, and that certain people at Kirtland knew about this, and that there was maybe some sort of government alien interaction, that the aliens were hostile and kidnapping people and forming all sorts of weird experiments upon them. The scenario grew and grew and grew. Now, a good friend of mine, Greg Bishop, wrote a book about this called Project Beta. And the book basically looks at the Benowitz story, but suggests that possibly there may well have been some genuine UFO incidents involved. But Greg kind of takes the view that more along the lines of Benowitz having been sort of taken in and fooled by the military, who wanted to pummel him with UFO stories because they believed, or they were worried, that he was actually focusing his attention on classified military programs. In other words, Benowitz was looking for UFO data. If he had stumbled upon, you know, classified military stealth aircraft being test flown and laser weaponry testing, etc., and, you know, he certainly wasn't working for the Russians or anything like that, but the fear was he might inadvertently and innocently reveal classified military programs that he thought were the work of aliens. So, as Greg points out in his book, the government decided to give Benowitz exactly what he wanted, and they literally pummeled him with, you know, tale after tale of UFOs, and, you know, they amped up kind of the horror angle, you know, that we're all under direct threat and that people were being sort of surgically implanted with devices that would allow them to be turned on, you know, like sleeper agents further down the line, and that people were being sort of dissected and be subjected to all sorts of alien experimentation. And it actually got to the point where Benowitz got so stressed out that he was actually admitted to an institution. You know, he had to undergo some sort of like psychological, mental sort of recovery. I mean,
can you blame him? I mean, the Air Force Office of Intelligence officers would even go in on occasion and rearrange the furniture in his house.
Yeah, this is a weird thing. I mean, you know, they use all sorts of weird little tactics to try and destabilize him. He said, just moving the. Imagine you come home and your chair's sort of 2 foot to the left or the right, or, you know, a painting that was on one wall's now on another wall. You know, you would begin to wonder, you know, have you got Alzheimer's or something? You know what I mean? And forgotten something he'd done 2 hours ago. And all of this collectively, and the fact that a lot of these stories were coming from military people he'd actually come to know and trust on the base, you know, instilled in Benowitz's mind that there was some truth to it. But what happened was that Benowitz, a lot of the stories that were fed to him were focused on the Dulce base, which, of course, is in North New Mexico. And eventually he began steering his information and his research away from Kirtland and focusing more on Dulce. Now, you know, Greg has argued that that was the plan all along, to, you know, get Benowitz looking away from military programs at Kirtland and into a relatively safe area in Dulce. And to an extent, I agree with that. But on the other hand, where I kind of think the issue is still open is that if there really is a base at Dulce, it would arguably be just as hazardous for the government to direct Benowitz towards that, not just away from Kirtland. You know, why not just send him on a mission into an area of the desert where there was nothing?
The fact kind of sent him into the loony bin, do you think they just overreacted, tried too hard?
Well, you know, I mean, I think you can look at it two ways. One of the ways is dependent upon Benowitz's character. You know, if it was me and I was fed stories about hostile aliens doing all sorts of experimentation on people, you know, that wouldn't cause me to have a nervous breakdown. It would cause me to dig into the story more. And if I came home and found pictures moved and things like that, I would stealthily set up cameras in the room, you know, and see if I could pick anything up. So, you know, I wouldn't be of that mindset where I think after 6 months I would be in the loony bin. So I think, you know, this sort of approach, I think, is only undertaken when a lot of sort of background research has been done on the psychological state of the person and how they can be manipulated. And one thing that works on one person might not work on another. But I think the motivation was to destabilize him, to encourage him by whatever means necessary to keep away from Kirtland and, you know, uncovering, albeit unwittingly, classified military programs and just focus on a different area. Now, I don't actually think, you know, the people on the program literally wanted Benowitz's health to suffer. I mean, some of them have come forward and said, you know, they kind of regretted the extent to which he'd been affected. I think the goal was just to shut him down and stop him, you know, not realizing that it was going to go to the ultimate degree of sort of like a total nervous, physical and psychological collapse, you know.
Well, the other question I would have is there any other case of someone else like a Paul Benowitz who was transported to the loony bin in this fashion, or is he a singular effort?
Well, you know, I mean, there probably isn't, at least ones I can think of publicly. But, you know, certainly Benowitz is the most visible, and the fact that he's sort of intricately tied into the story of the Dulce base, you know, just makes it all the more intriguing. And, of course, with Dulce, it's kind of like Area 51 and Roswell. You know, it just never goes away. I mean, for example, stories are still being told about the whole Dulce thing today. I mean, one of the people who's sort of been more vocal on this in the last couple of years is a researcher named Anthony Sanchez. And in January 2010, Sanchez spoke with a retired U.S. Air Force operative who confirmed that, yes, there was a Dulce facility. But rather than just being one kind of secret underground base, there are actually three. And they were supposedly nicknamed TAD-1, TAD-2, and TAD-3.
And this is COMMERCIAL Radio with Nick Redfern, author of Keep Out. You're talking to Gene and Chris because you end
the Paracast.
Nick?
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
As we age, we lose both strength and muscle mass. Undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows is nature's most powerful food to gain back lost muscle. Virtually all whey protein powders or drinks have been damaged during processing or are high in sugar. This damaged whey causes a significant loss in the ability of the body to build new muscle proteins. The high sugar content will stop all the benefits of your growth hormone from causing muscle repair. By giving your body easily absorbed, undamaged whey, free of added sugar, you may be able to gain back lost muscle and strength. One World Whey is truly undamaged whey protein powder free of added sugar. Both young and elderly are reporting increases in muscle strength and size without any additional exercise. Go to oneworldwhey.com, that's oneworldwhey.com, to read or hear some impressive testimonies to this effect. Or call 888-988-3325, that's 888-988-3325.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Nick Redfern, author of Keep Out. And we're focusing here on things in and around Dulce, New Mexico with Gene and Chris. Chris, you want to pick up on the questioning?
Well, boy, we obviously, Nick, the whole subject of Dulce could, we could do a couple of shows on this one topic. So I don't want to, you know, beat this one too long because we have other ground to cover. But I mean, what are your feelings about it? I mean, where do you come down on it? You seem kind of like a fence sitter in terms of your voice in the book. I mean, what do you think? Do you think that there is, let's say, an underground nuclear storage facility there on an Indian reservation, and possibly that could be responsible for the heightened environmental radiation that's affecting the health of the Hickory Apache there? I mean, there's a lot of very interesting sidebars to this story. I uncovered a source that claimed he helped build the tunnel from Los Alamos to Dulce, and that it was his understanding that it was an underground storage facility. Well, I mean, where do you come down?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, to call me a fence sitter is actually correct, providing we sort of understand, you know, what that term means. I mean, there are people in ufology who sit on the fence because they just want to be, you know, they want to try and please both sides, and they don't want to cause friction or whatever. You know, that's not my approach. You know, I'll tell it as I see it. But when it comes to Dulce, I do sit on the fence, not because, you know, I want to please both sides or sort of remain, you know, kind of impartial or whatever. It purely and simply is because the story
it's
weird, and it can go two ways. You know, on the one hand, it sounds just like sci-fi to imagine there could be some sort of huge underground James Bond-type villain base, you know, in the heart of New Mexico where all these sort of unspeakable things are going on. And if that's all there was, then I would say, well, you know, show me some evidence of it or go away, you know. But on the other hand, that isn't what we're getting. What we actually have with Dulce, we have these intriguing stories, but we can prove that the government really was digging in that area back in the 60s. We can prove that the FBI was deeply worried about a whole spate of cattle mutilations in that very area in the 1970s. So I sit on the fence when it comes to Dulcie, because the story sounds so outlandish, but when we dig into it, we actually see some evidence that is suggestive of something weird going on in the area. And I think one of the other reasons why, you know, when it comes to Dulcie, I don't mind being called a fence sitter, is because one of the things about Dulcie is so many people say, well, I believe this and I believe that. You know, in ufology, the word belief, to me, it's just like the bane of the subject. Nobody should be believing anything. What we should be doing is looking for evidence and trying to verify that evidence and data when we find it. Otherwise, you know, it becomes like a religion where, you know, somebody believes in heaven, somebody believes in reincarnation. It doesn't mean there isn't a life after death, but when you're putting your own spin on it, that's what's happening with things like Dulcie and most aspects of ufology. You know, somebody says, I believe the aliens come from Zeta Reticuli. Well, big deal. Belief in aliens from Reticuli means nothing. You know, we need evidence, and that's the thing with... But it doesn't mean we shouldn't look into it and have a theory, or we shouldn't address it. And that's, you know, what I try and do with Dulcie. There's something weird about the area, something's going on, but to a degree, it's a big leap to suggest that aliens are dissecting people and, you know, gene splicing them with gorillas or whatever, you know.
Right, the cavern of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah, exactly. So in that sense, you know, I urge caution, but equally recognize the fact that there really is a lot of oddities in and around Dulcie, you know, so let's investigate it, but let's not get steeped in belief systems about what we want to hear because it's cool and it's going to get people in at conferences and lectures. You know, let's remain impartial until we know.
Well, we had Anthony Sanchez on the Paracast last year.
Oh, boy.
And Frank Warren, a longtime researcher in the field, has done quite a bit of digging into Sanchez's alleged Colonel X story with his document, the DD-214, which is a discharge document, if memory serves me correct. And there are some real serious problems with it. In fact, the supposed division or agency that supposedly released this document called the way that Sanchez has presented it totally bogus. So what do you think about this whole Anthony Sanchez, the latest wrinkle in this thing? Do you give the Colonel X story any sort of credence at all, or where do you come down on that?
Well, you know, I try and look at the bigger picture, and I think the bigger picture is, you know, I think we see this in a lot of cases where something's going on and it's not all just made up out of, you know, nothing, that there is an area where, you know, that there could potentially be some sort of base or installation. What we often see is military people coming forward with sort of, you know, classic deep throat type revelations, you know, Mr. X type stuff. And people either take one view or another for the most part. They either think it's nonsense or it's some brave whistleblower coming forward to expose the truth. You know, I often think that this is done to confuse things and to lessen the credibility of what might be a real mystery and a real secret, but possibly one of less significance than, you know, the story that's being told. In other words, you know, let's get somebody coming forward who's got a really fantastic story to tell and then whose background can be demolished. And then what happens, the rest of the deck of the cards falls down as well. And I think that's often the goal in these sort of Mr. X type stories, or deep throat type, you know, revelations, that it's, you know,
similar to the Annie Jacobson Area 51 scenario. Supply
exactly.
One. Yeah, it's really, it's quite similar.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people in ufology, unfortunately, foam at the mouth when a military person comes forward to reveal some big secret about UFOs. Well, my view has always been, don't just wonder about the secret that's been revealed to you. Question, why is it being revealed to you? You know, why is this person coming forward to talk about this? You know, and I think very often we can get a good indicator as to what's going on from the why of the story rather than the content of the story.
Now, the question would be then, if we're being fed disinformation, the motivation, is it to hide some larger secret or just to experiment on people and see how they react just in case?
Well, you know, I mean, it could be a combination of several things. You know, that's the big problem with the UFO subject, is that it goes beyond just the issue of whether or not life exists elsewhere and it's visiting us. It also sort of impacts upon government secrecy, government disinformation, how secrets are kept, how lies are spread to hide something else. You know, you really have to be a student of the way the government's mind works rather than just, you know, wondering about sort of, you know, aliens stealing our DNA or whatever. So I think, you know, when it comes to stories like this, you know, to a degree, it's to keep us away from something. To a second degree, it's to perpetuate fake stories that have us all running around like headless chickens. But the third thing is always remember it's obviously being done for a purpose. And if there's a purpose, there's still something worth looking for, you know, and maybe, like Chris said, that, you know, with his source who talked about, you know, working on the construction of this base, but it was more like a storage area. Maybe something secret is being stored there that the government doesn't want to know about, but it prefers, it can't keep people away, it can't hide the story. So what does it do? Well, it swamps the fairly down-to-earth story with accounts of crashed UFOs and aliens eating humans deep below the Archuleta Mesa.
So if you make it wackier and wackier, people are going to disbelieve what's really going on there. You're pointing them in this direction. But that raises a larger issue. To what extent is military disinformation focusing us away from some real things and into UFOs? What percentage of UFOs or related activities such as abductions are simply government playing tricks?
Well, you know, in my view, I think it's a bit of both. What I think, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind there's a genuine UFO phenomenon of unknown origins. Now, whether it's extraterrestrial, whether it's, you know, in simple terms, interdimensional, you know, which is actually a far more intricate area of research than rather than just calling it interdimensional. Who knows if it's something else, you know, if it's tulpas, who knows what it is, but it exists. And I think the government knows this and doesn't want us to know what it knows. But equally, I think the government has realized over the years that this very real phenomenon can also be exploited by the government to cover up its own activities.
And now we're going to cover up this, ladies and gentlemen. We have Nick Redfern, author of Keep Out, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
There is no truth to the rumor that the only reason we bring Nick Redfern onto the Paracast every so often is because of his laughter.
Well, my wife always said that is the reason.
Just as Robert Plant once said, remember laughter?
Yeah.
Chris, does anyone remember? Want to pursue laughter? This, or let's get to some of the listener questions?
Oh, you would spring that on me right now. Let's talk about Pine Gap first.
Okay. Well, Pine Gap, is in Australia, and it's sort of probably the most secretive location in Australia beyond any shadow of a doubt. And it's kind of like an Australian equivalent to the National Security Agency in the sense that, you know, whereas agencies like the FBI and the CIA are responsible for sort of intelligence gathering, you know, a lot of manpower involved and spying operations, espionage programs, that sort of thing. The Dulce base, like the National Security Agency in Maryland, essentially are sort of the eyes and the ears, and certainly more the ears, of sort of the espionage world. You know, they're responsible for sort of phone tapping, monitoring emails, you know, faxes, telephones, you know, just basically eavesdropping on the planet and whoever, you know, it's deemed necessary to spy on, if you like, under those sort of circumstances. And Pine Gap is actually the only location in all of Australia that it's illegal to fly over. You know, you'd imagine their equivalent to the White House might be the place, but it's actually Pine Gap. And Pine Gap's origins go back to the mid-1960s when the governments of Australia and the US signed what was known as the Pine Gap Treaty, which basically allowed for the establishment on Australian soil of this sort of classified eavesdropping agency or facility that was going to be manned by Australian personnel, but from the US, people from the NSA and the CIA. And so we had a lot of state-of-the-art surveillance equipment, things like this. But just like the CIA and the NSA, Pine Gap has also been linked with UFOs. There have been people who've talked about seeing what looked like sort of platforms opening in the desert floor and then these weird-looking UFOs coming out and sort of taking to the skies. Now, one of the things I note in the book is that because Pine Gap, you know, is heavily involved in surveillance operations, you have to wonder, the more that our technology develops, you know, are we seeing evidence, as some people do believe, you know, the idea that there's an alien base below Pine Gap, or are we seeing evidence of more and more of these so-called, you know, remotely piloted vehicles and drones that are being increasingly used for domestic surveillance, you know, rather than just spying on enemy nations? By definition, you know, some sort of weird-looking drone is a UFO. You know, it's unidentified and it's flying and it's an object. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's alien. And I think sometimes when we see these weird-looking crafts, like the ones that have been seen in and around Pine Gap, we may well be seeing evidence of some sort of highly advanced, you know, terrestrial device rather than something alien. And I think the more and more our technology develops, it's going to become more and more difficult to differentiate between what might be, quote, ours or theirs.
It's one of the more intriguing locations, I think, in Australia. Also down in the southern part of the country, there's quite a interesting place where that doomsday cult from Japan may have detonated some near-nuclear device. I'm not sure if you're aware of that story, but there's a lot of room there for the government or governments to hide a lot of secrets out there.
Right. I mean, the thing is, you know, Australia, for the most part, is sort of inhabited with the big cities, sort of around the coastal areas, you know, and it's a huge country. It's massive. So in that sense, you know, it makes a great deal of sense to, if you want to have a secret installation far and away from everybody, you know, position it in Australia. You know, I mean, UFOs aside, you know, there have been a lot of questions asked in Australia in the last few years about civil liberty issues, about Pine Gap being used to spy on, you know, at a domestic level on everybody from, you know, from people complaining about, you know, the use of animals in farms, you know, vegetarians and animal rights groups, you know, right up to sort of some of the things you'd expect them to get involved in, like terrorist issues. But, you know, in terms of UFOs, there is this sort of undercurrent of weird sightings in the area as well. Kind of like Area 51, you know, a secret base where we know classified military operations are going on, but there's also a UFO connection. You know, the big question is, what is the nature of that UFO connection? Is it something of ours, as I said, you know, just now, or theirs?
Well, certainly any place that you have established that you do secret testing, you're going to see that. You're going to see if you're testing aircraft, what's going on. Of course, the way the military budget's being slashed, maybe they'll be developing fewer types of aircraft.
Well, yeah, I mean, that could be the case. I mean, it's sort of difficult to know. But I think the problem for the UFO community and for the public is that when people see a weird-looking object in the sky, they immediately think UFO. You know, today's technology, if you see a circular-shaped thing flying around, there's no reason that has to be alien. There's none at all. You know, the technology exists to fly and build these things. And I think, unfortunately, governments realize that the pop culture image of the flying saucer is so strong that it acts as a very good cover, you know, an incredible cover even. And I think, you know, this relates to why many of these bases have UFO stories attached to them. Don't get me wrong, there are a lot of highly unexplainable cases linked to official facilities. But in some of them, I think we've got to point the finger at the, you know, these corporations, et cetera, that are building these remote drones and things like that.
Is that also part of the issue, too, that nowadays we put more stuff into the hands of the military-industrial complex, and, of course, they're not constrained by accountability. They're private companies. And if they're not being regulated in any way, they can just do what they want.
Well, yeah, and then, of course, you know, the government has plausible deniability of saying we know nothing about this or it's nothing to do with us, which technically, you know, you're stretching the truth to the finest line possible, but you're still telling the truth that, you know, the government is not building this. Well, that doesn't mean the government hasn't contracted out to somebody else to build it, you know. And I think again, you know, with the UFO subject, not, you know, I'm not trying to be Sam anything special, which I'm not, you know, but I do think a lot of researchers miss one of the most important things, and that is, you know, just not looking at the evidence and wanting it to be this or that, but looking at all the other potential possibilities, looking at where technology is today, you know, looking at the geographical locations of UFO encounters in relation to military facilities and things like this. And just trying to, you know, look at the bigger picture. I mean, I understand, you know, the UFO subject is an emotive one that provokes beliefs, and people want it to be this and they want it to be exciting and they want to go to conferences and hear X-Files-like tales, which is fine. But if you're going to be level-headed and grounded about it, you know, you can't go running around like some, you know, headless chicken just spreading stories because they're fun and exciting. You know, we've
got maybe the UFO business is regarded by a lot of people as one huge reality show. I mean, you know, the crazy housewives of Beverly Hills and the UFO researchers from Area 51. Is there a difference anymore?
Well, you know, I mean, to an extent. I mean, this is one of the issues I have with the media. You know, the media are always quick to sort of paint the UFO research community or the paranormal research community as a whole, you know, as a little bit odd. You know, and I mean, when you look at most people in the field, I don't think, you know, of course you can always find someone you can single out who's like, you know, 55 years old, lives in his mom's basement and has got some obsession with some actress he's never going to meet. You know what I mean? You know, the sort of the typical bumbling person who, you know, fits that category. But for the most part, I think most people in the field are level-headed and grounded. And this idea that we're all a little bit off-kilter is more of a creation of the media because, you know, it's an entertaining, from their perspective, way to portray us. But I don't think, you know, we're sort of at that reality TV level where I think what lets the UFO research field down is that, you know, the issue I brought up before, belief. People want, you know, regardless of what did or didn't happen at Roswell, I don't care what people say, everybody in ufology wants aliens to have crashed at Roswell because it would offer some vindication for the story and the bigger UFO mystery. But wanting it to be alien and believing it to be alien, you know, there's a fine line between accepting that as fact and accepting it as what it is, a theory. And I think ufology's biggest failure is to get itself out of this belief-driven approach to the subject rather than a view that, well, something's going on, but let's just look at all the data and analyze it, study it, put it together, and try and come to some conclusion, not try and vindicate a particular theory.
But that's not sexy enough, Nick. That's not sexy
enough.
Well, no,
that's
right. We have to have E.T. It has to be something that's romantic. Oh, the aliens are going to come to Earth because we're so special.
Well,
we have
right.
a special Nick Redfern. The book is called Keep Out. You're with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Ho, ho, ho.
And a bottle of Oh, Forget It.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.